bit about Passover and what that looks like. So in the book of Exodus, it tells us the great I Am wanted his people free from slavery. He saw the affliction, heard their cries, and he said, I know their sorrows. They were slaves under Pharaoh. Joseph had died. They didn't have favor with the Egyptians anymore. And so they became slaves, and they were multiplying. There was a lot of them. He sent Moses to Pharaoh so that he would bring for God's people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He heard their cries. And he said, to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They've been slaved for 430 years or something. And he took them. His desire was for them to live in the land of luxury. 9 plagues later, this is before we got to the 10th plague, the Lord told Moses how to prepare the children of Israel to leave the bondage of Egypt. He tells them exactly what to do, exactly how to dress, exactly how to eat. Asher has balked at the door. Sorry, he is just so funny to me. So, in Exodus 12, you can read that in Exodus 12. He tells them to take a lamb for a house on a certain day. It must be without blemish and a male of the firstborn. A lamb for a house. More than likely, they had that little lamb in their home for a few days and may have gotten really close to it. Can you just see the kids, how they would feel about that lamb? A lamb for a house. This is where I want you to see the goodness of God. Was a sign of household redemption and family salvation. He wants your whole family saved. He's made a plan for it. He wants your entire family saved. On the 14th day, they went to kill the lamb. Lauren, can you give me Exodus 12 now? Thank you. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Now go ahead and show me some pictures. This is what it would probably have looked similar to. Sit over the lintel and on the 2 doorposts. And can you just imagine a whole community of slaves doing this? The Israelites. The blood of that precious little lamb was a visual sign of protection for the house. If a household was too small to consume a whole lamb, they were to share it with their neighbor. Now you could really take off there. I could do a real rabbit trail there. If the household was too small to consume it, you go share it. You share the word. You share the blood, what you know about the blood of Jesus. Ensuring that enough lamb was available for everyone. Can you just not get excited about that? That's Old Testament. We're talking Old Testament here. The lamb symbolized sacrifice and redemption, foreshadowing the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, to come. Any home with the blood applied, the death angel passed over. You want to go ahead and show that picture? Didn't get it? It's okay. Did you say hang on or no? Okay. Anyway, a death angel would come over and they would see the blood and pass over. It's as simple as that. He would just pass over. Whoever was in there, he didn't disturb that home. The firstborn did not get it. It was the firstborn of males, it was your cattle, it was anything firstborn. So, the children of Israel did what the Lord told them to do. If the blood of the spotless lamb was applied, the Lord passed over and did not permit the destroyer to come to their house to kill them, the firstborn. Now, let me just interject a little bit here. It was never God's intention to kill anybody. It's not. Pharaoh just would not. He would harden his heart every time the frogs came, every time the flies came, every time the blood came. He just was relentless with his hatred for God and hatred for the people. I mean, chapter 12:38 says this, a mixed multitude also went up with them along with flocks and herds and a large amount of livestock. What that means is there were Egyptians that got in on the protection. God wasn't exclusive. I mean, it was for the Israelites. So, I mean, I'm kind of thinking the Gentiles come along too, didn't we? We were the Gentiles. So the firstborn males of the ones without the blood over their blood, the door were killed that night. Animals, whatever was firstborn, that did not have protection of the blood of the lamb. Now, that was what the blood of a cute little lamb could do. Just a cute little lamb with the word of God behind it. That was the first Passover. So here's what I say. Thank God for the new covenant. I'm glad I'm not slaughtering little animals for the forgiveness, just the covering of my sins. When we take communion, we must remember we are in covenant with God, and He is a covenant-keeping God. It's important to Him. Jesus left all the glories of heaven to be born, the Son of Man, into a flesh body, the spotless, sacrificial Lamb of God. He was perfect. And His 33 years, He was perfect. Jesus died both spiritually and physically. Spiritually, during His temporary abandonment by the Father. Physical, when He gave up the ghost. He was dead. It was just, He was dead. Jesus purchased with His own blood complete redemption, spirit, soul, and body for all mankind, for all time. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. We just have to choose it. We just have to choose it. And we can deny it. We can go to the grave and go to hell. I mean, that. And Jesus said, that breaks my heart. But I can't do anything until they choose me. When we take communion, we are partaking of Jesus' shed blood and broken body. We have entered into covenant with Him by faith. Not only the remission of sins, but also healing, deliverance, peace of mind, prosperity are included in the eternal redemption forever. A lot of people don't take the peace of mind. They might have heard about other things, but they don't take it up here. And this is what messes with us. It fights with us almost. And he purchased all that, our Lord and Savior, at the cross of Calvary. Jesus, heaven and earth, hell-shaking words on the cross, it is finished, eternally declared that the final sacrifice of the Abrahamic covenant had been hung on the altar of the cross by the priesthood who had put it there. The priest put Him there. The religious people put Him there. It was a legal transaction in the courts of heaven. What Jesus did on the cross was a legal transaction in heaven and the depths of hell. So, Lauren, have you got that one? Oh, wait, that's the death angel going over, and that's the blood on the thing. I thought I sent that. So go ahead, Lauren. The video, yeah, is this. I'm going to tell you what all that means. I have done it is finished means this. I have done exactly what you asked me to do. The ultimate sacrifice had finally been made. Atonement was completed, perfected, and fully accomplished. It was done once for all, finished forever. There's never a need to go back and kill anything and sacrifice an animal's blood. Jesus was declaring that the debt of sin was fully satisfied, complete, fulfilled. His blood utterly and completely cleansed us forever. It was a turning point in the entire history of mankind at that moment. The Old Testament came to an end, finished and closed, and the New Testament began. The cross was the great divide in human history. The sacrifices of the Old Testament permanently ceased. It means we are forgiven and utterly debt-free, paid in full. Woo! Amen! So when you go out there and you do something you shouldn't, God, forgiven. Boom. Paid in full. Even as Christians doing dumb things. I mean, we don't just automatically become smart and never do nothing dumb again.
Right.
I mean, and those habits rise up. But let me tell you what. Here's what does happen. Because Holy Spirit is in us, the fruits of the Spirit are in us. And some of us just haven't developed those yet. I'm not necessarily talking to you all, but some Christians just haven't. You mean I've got long-suffering inside of me? I've got peace and patience and kindness? I got to be kind? They just don't have those developed. Because somebody like me hadn't taught them yet, or they haven't read the Word. But all that's in us, all that is in us. Why am I saying that? Anyway, so that's all paid in full. It's finished. I'm telling you, it is finished. People make it so hard. Well, it's kind of like this. When you get someone who's going to come and clean your house, you've hired them, and they're going to be your housekeeper. And then you go and clean your house before the house cleaner gets there. Because I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to talk to Denise about setting the schedule up for me. And I'm thinking, okay, if I get this all cleaned up, it won't be, you know. And that's how people are. I'll get my life together, and then I'll ask Jesus to come in. Huh? What can we possibly do to get our life together? The only thing that's important to Jesus is that you accept Him as the payment for your sin. He'll work on the other in time. But you can't clean up the house and then think you're all clean. Well, then you don't need Jesus, right? If you think you've got it all clean, who needs Him? We all do. We all do. So the plan of redemption kept secret from the foundation of the world had begun. That was the plan of redemption from the beginning. 1 Peter, that tells you that in 1 Peter 1, 19 through 20. I didn't get that far. So the 3 days and 3 nights of torment in the region of the damned to pay the price for Adam's treason was endured and overcome by the spotless Lamb of God for our justification. Yes, Jesus went to hell. He had to go to hell to pay for our sins. He had to. If he just went on to heaven, the sins weren't paid for. He went to hell and he conquered it. The triumph of God totally defeated Satan, the fallen angels, and all the demons of hell in their own domain, making a show of them openly, raising victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. It says, so I'm thinking this. He had to go to hell to experience hell so I don't have to go to hell. But then God showed up and he said, that's enough. And so Jesus, they said, like a Roman parade, would have taken Satan and somehow and the demons and all of that and would have paraded them through hell. Now here's all the people that had gone to hell before that, watching the one, because they chose not to love God, saw the king come through, and the person that they served is getting paraded through like he was a nobody. And that's who they served, instead of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He made a show of them openly. He was in hell, so it had to be hell that he made a show of them on his own turf. How disheartening that would be to be eternally in hell, and the one that you didn't even know if you were serving him or not was defeated, and now you're stuck with him for all eternity. Wouldn't that be awful? I mean, hell's awful, but that'd really be awful. So, do I have 1 Corinthians 2:8? So none of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this. For if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Lauren, go ahead and show that next video. I like this one. You don't have to turn it on, Jay. That's where the priests, the high religious leaders, realize they done killed the wrong person. They just killed the Son of God. That's where the temple was rent. They said it took, 300 to 600 people to take the curtains down and wash them when they needed. It was so heavy. So the curtains were a man's hand's width, and in nothing they were rent. Just ripped open. So that's their precious kingdom. Their precious temples were destroyed. because Jesus was raising the temple in 3 days. Amen! Amen! So when we take communion, it's a powerful reminder of our identification and victory in Jesus over sin, sickness, demons, fear, disease, destruction, torment, poverty that's been strapped to mankind through Adam's sin. Amen. Victorious people. Jesus Christ, our covenant brother, the last Adam, paid the awesome price for our unrighteousness so we could become his righteousness forever and partake of the joy. 1 Corinthians, Lauren, have you got that? God himself made the way so you can have a new life through Jesus Christ. God gave us Christ to be our wisdom. Christ made us right with God and set us apart for God and made us holy. Christ bought us with his blood and made us free from our sins. Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, let me just say this. I just feel led to say this. Some of you think, well, I'm not that big of a Christian. I believe in Jesus, but I don't know about all that. Nevertheless, God gave us Christ to be our wisdom. Christ made us right with God and set us apart for God and made us holy. You're holy. You're holy. I mean, we're holy. We're holy people. We're on holy ground. Here's the good news. Go ahead, Lauren, show the good news. Can you see if I stand here? You can. You know, he meets with Peter, and Peter messed up big time. He denied him. Jesus prophesied it. And I can just hear him say, now, Father, I got to go do some fishing with Peter and cook him breakfast. And he went out there and he met with Peter. He was cooking breakfast. And he said, come eat with me. Peter, do you love me? And Peter, you know, he stumbled around. And Peter, do you love me? Ask him 3 times. He said, feed my sheep. He went there. I think that is such one of the sweetest stories because he knew how Peter felt. I mean, sometimes we just feel defeated. Sometimes we just feel like, well, I know so-and-so, and you just put yourself down. I mean, I've been dealing with a precious little lady that it's going to take a lot for me to convince her. She's holy. And that's how people feel about themselves. They think, well, I'm just getting to heaven by the skin of my teeth. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to God say, well, this is your degree that you get to heaven, and this is your, oh, over here, Billy Graham, here's your degree. You really get the good stuff. These guys are getting in by the skin of their teeth. That's just not how it works. That's not how it works. All he wants us to do is accept Jesus as the sacrifice that he sent for sin. That's all he wants. And it's either you're saying, God, I don't accept that sacrifice. I don't believe you. Or you're saying, I do. And you're just as holy and saved as anybody else. And people just want to put degrees on things. They want to put contingencies and stipulations, and it's just not that way. He's too good. He's love. When we take communion, we can believe for our household, praise God. I got 4 I'm believing for, to be saved. We, by faith, have victory in Jesus over sin, any sickness or any disease. Victory over any common, I mean, demon, fear, or destruction, or torment, over any poverty and poverty thinking. We have any and everything we need. Jake and who did I say? Bobby, come on up. And everything we need to lead a victorious life because of all that Jesus accomplished at the cross. We talked about the first Passover. And this is the second Passover. This is the New Testament Passover. Go ahead. And as we do that, y'all know what this is about. Lauren, have you got something for me? Huh? What? No, no more recordings, I don't think. I mean, music. Did I have some music picked out?